I want to tell you, Manon, where'd you go? That request for, did you pray this morning, was divine. That's what I'm going to talk about, prayer. I got a little book, that's a little Bible handbook about that thick. And that book, the guy says, he's the one that wrote it, and he's admonition to all ministers or people that are going to hold forth. Is that what you ought to do in your congregation, you pastors? I'm not saying you need to do this. I'm just saying this is his, what his advice was. What you do is you present to the people every day what you're going to talk about Sunday. Every day, every time you have church, every meeting that you have right here, you talk about your topic. And then come Sunday, you talk about that topic. Well, that's what we did here this last couple of days right here, is we talked about prayer. Prayer is the theme. Well, that happens to be my theme that I've got right here. I want to tell you a little bit about prayer this morning. Becky's going to see her sister here today. She's going to be leaving at 2 or 3 o'clock. She said, Randy, shall I take the little car or take the big car? Take the little car. And so she planned on taking the little car. I go down and I check the tires and check the gas and so forth. And guess what? What would you imagine? Does he have a flat tire? Yes, he's got a flat tire. I said, Becky, we got a flat tire. It's going to be a little deviation in your routine right here, but I think I can get it fixed. Well, go on down to Walmart right here, and they'll fix it. We called them up right here and said, yeah, we'll get six guys ahead of you, and they'll fix your tire right here. So I said, okay. So here I come. I got my little pickup truck. I drive down there as fast as I can, knowing the time is clicking. Tick, 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 right here. I got to get here. I got to get to church right here, but no problem. Walmart will fix my tire. Get into Walmart. The little guy comes out to meet me right here. I'm offloading out of the pickup. She says, that screw that's in your tire is in the sidewall. We can't fix it. You got to fix it. We can't do it. That's all right. I'm going to take it as it is. So I come to church. I get to church right here, and we're offloading things and unloading things. This is Bible school. That's what you do. And I'm offloading and unloading right here, and I got it all loaded right here. And I got two keys in my little S10 pickup. One key for the ignition, one key for the door locks. I don't have the door lock key. I give it away or lost it somewhere. I shut the door. I'm locked out of my truck. That ain't the end of the story. So I'm locked out. A little bit wired. I told Becky, I said, we got to do something right here. She said, okay. We got everything loaded right here. I'll get in my car. I'll drive back and see if we have a door key to your car somewhere at home right here. I'm going back. All right. She's about ready to get going right here. I'm in my duds right here. I'm glad you didn't see me. I'm in my duds, and I'm getting to think right here. Is there any way that key could be on my truck? I've had that truck for maybe 7, 8, 10 years old, rusty old truck. I got on the ground and I got in there and I'm feeling, and as I'm feeling, I'm praying. And I know that if I've got a key lock right here, it only holds one key, probably the ignition key. I don't need the ignition key, I need the door key. I'm feeling and I'm feeling, and my hands rubbed up against something rusty and corroded. It's the key lock, but it's only got the ignition key in it. I opened it up, hallelujah! I'm sorry, but I did. So I got the key. I want to tell you about a little bit, we're talking about prayer. Hope I don't get lost in this, and I hope you're not lost right here. I think I can probably do it. But in this computer works. In this, before I got married, I was traveling everywhere with a whole bunch of kids, and we went everywhere. We did everything. I recommend doing it if you can do it. And if you can do it according to the Lord and with his blessing and benefit right here, I encourage kids to go. And we did it. We did it, and I had Debbie Vogel. Were you on that trip? I can't remember. We went down to Phoenix, Arizona. There was a bunch of kids. I took you on several trips. But anyway, we're loaded in a pickup truck. And we got a camper in there, and we're probably 7, 8, 10 kids all together, and I'm driving. And we're driving through the night. We're going to go down to Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to drive through the night. We're going to get there, and boy, we're hard driving. We got to get going, get the pedal to the metal right here. We got to make it. The generator, I can't remember if it was a generator or the alternator, went shot on us. Lights are going down. We're traveling the night right here. We got no lights right here. We are in a world of trouble. We're in a little New Mexican town right here in the middle of the night. And we pulled into a gasoline station, long overdue, dead, been vacated and lost for years right here. It's just an old gas station, just decrepit, drying up and fading away. And we're looking, scratching our head and trying to figure out what to do and how to repair this generator, alternator, whatever it was. And somebody said, well, I wonder if there's any barrels of old grease and crud and stuff that comes from that old filling stations have. They all have it right here. I said, well, let's look. So in the middle of the night there, we're looking right here, and we found a barrel right here. And that barrel had a bunch of grease and had a bunch of goo and a bunch of old parts in it. We're looking at that. As that is happening, my mother is sleeping with my father in the middle of the night at that moment. She hears Ronnie, are you here? She hears Ronnie's name. And she hears it, and she wakes my dad up. She says, Bill, get up right here. There's something cooking. There's something not good right here. We got to pray for our kids. And they knelt down in the middle of the night and prayed for us. Back to Arizona, back to New Mexico, we're there looking at that big old can right here, and we find the exact parts that we need. Probably been in that thing for 30 years. We find the parts that we could rebuild that alternator generator right here, and off we went. Because of what? Because of prayer. It's a real thing. It happens. It's a fact of God's life. What he says and what he teaches right here is to learn to practice prayer. Learn to do that. Make prayer part of your life, and you'll see answered prayer, and you'll have testimonies to bear right here that God is real. It's not some fantasy, something that your schools are teaching you kids right here. There is no God. There is nothing to believe in. There's everything to believe in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer right here, and he says, after this manner, pray ye our Father. He's our Father. He's the one looking after you. He's the one that watches you every day. He's the one that's taken care of you, made you avoid a whole lot of disaster in your life because God is on duty, he's on job. And so he's our Father, and I like to look at it that way. I like to think, when I'm praying, our Father, my Father, Lord Jesus, can you hear me? I need you. And so it says right here, for those of us, they ask Jesus how to pray. How do I say a prayer? How do you make a prayer to God right here that's heard, that goes all the way up from planet Earth, all the way up into heaven, wherever it's at? How do you do that? How can your prayers be heard? Jesus is telling them right here, you do it this way. You want your prayers to be heard. You want to ask for the right things. You want your life to be blessed right here. You're gonna do it Jesus' way. And so he says, you start out by this manner right here. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Next verse, 10th verse. Thy kingdom come. Unless you haven't heard, unless you don't know what's going on in this world right here, our world is turned upside down such as you have never seen it that way. Brother Leslie and Sister Irene right here have been around for almost 100 years. They've never seen anything like what's going on cooking right now. We're spending every 100 days $1 trillion. That's just the economy of it, or the lack of it. We need the kingdom to come. And what does the kingdom look like? What the kingdom looks like is it looks a little bit like this right here, what I'm looking at. It looks like his children are gathered together saying, hallowed be thy name. This is what it looks like. The kingdom of God right here isn't some TV or some telephone or some whacked out guy trying to convince you of believing some kind of nonsense and woke stuff right here. But what we have right here is we got a Father who loves us, and we're asking him that bring it on. Bring the kingdom on. And when the kingdom comes, there's going to be love and peace and righteousness and goodness and mercy. That's what it looks like. If you've ever been that, if you've ever had anybody have mercy on you, anybody was, I've had it happen right here. I remember, just for the kids' benefit right here, I remember I was acting up right here, and I had a cup of coffee or a cup of juice or something like this. And I was acting up like this, and I spilled it on this girl's dress. And I thought, boy, I am dead meat. I am in trouble. You know what she did? She said, that's all right. That's okay, Randy. That's all right. I forgive you. Ooh, that was a little part of the kingdom right there. And I needed it, and I got it. And we're looking for, and we're praying. And you better be praying right here that God knows who you are, that you're part of the family, that you've hallowed his name. You better be on your knees and praying, and often praying, Lord, bring to pass your kingdom, because the kingdom that's now is of the devil. We've got the enemy right here. He's in charge, and we can tell it everywhere you look and everything that you see on your telephone, on your TV, and where you're looking right here, you're seeing people whacked out. You're seeing people troubled of mind. You're seeing trouble everywhere. We're seeing our government is in trouble. And our government and people that's in charge there, I'm not going to get political right here. I'm just saying it's just obvious right here. Nobody knows where to go and what to do and how to do it. And it's trouble. But for the children of God who hallow his name, who believe in him, who trust in him, who are praying, Lord have mercy, bring on the kingdom. We can't last much longer. We need you. Are you with me? Can you hear me? Am I with you? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Could there be a day? I'll tell you, Little House on the Prairie. I keep thinking about this. Little House on the Prairie right here, is they had a hard, hard year. I mean, it was destitute year right here, the farmers. And so they had a little bit of wheat. They harvested the wheat, and they put the wheat in the walls of the cabin, the shack that they're living in. They put the wheat in there to hide it. Somebody maybe can find it, and they won't see it right here because we got it in the walls. Well, the trouble went on, and the neighbors are hostile, and the neighbors are starving, and nobody's got any food except this little family right here got the food hid back in the walls. And they appeared, a whole mob of them appeared. A true story. And they said, we know you've got food. We know you got food. And he had to open the walls of his house right here so they could get the food that he had hidden. Well, I'm just saying that God's the only one that can deliver you out of a circumstance like that. And evidently, Little House on the Prairie gal right here, I guess they were delivered, and they did come through it, and they did eat. We need to have that where we are petitioning the king to take care and bring the kingdom. But give us this day our daily bread. In your Bible right here, there's a prophet right here, and this guy is probably one of the mightiest prophets in the Old Testament. What would be his name? Fought the priest of Baal. Who was that?
Elijah.
That's right. And so here's Elijah. And Elijah is wherever he's going, he's got a message. He don't get up and yawn and say, hey, ain't nothing cooking today right here. He is going somewhere. He's got something that he's going to do. And so he's headed, and wherever head he's going right here, it's under God's direction. And he probably doesn't know most of the time, but he's going this direction knowing that God is with me and God will bring to pass what mighty things he's going to do. So he's walking into town. As he walks into town right here, he looks over yonder, and there is an old, old woman withering away, lost her husband, no food in the house. You know the story. What happens in the story right here is he said, look at me. He says, what are you doing? She says, I'm getting two sticks. I'm getting a little meal. I'm getting a little oil. I'm going to mix that up. That's the last meal that my and my son will eat before we die. That's all we got. Just enough. And then we perish. And then what does he say? It's just unkind. It's rude. It's cruel. What did he say? I'm saying that facetiously. He says, give me your meal and make me a little loaf. Make me a little biscuit. Give it to me. And what would be a normal person's reaction? I ain't not going to give it to you. That's all we got right here. That's the only last meal. And you're asking me to give it to you? He says, yes. And she did. And what was the rest of the story? The cruise never failed. The oil and the meal was always there because she hallowed God's name. She was with the Lord. She was a praying woman, and she probably prayed that day. I just have to imagine, but I know how these things work. She's praying right here, Lord, you know who I am. I try to do what's right. I try to live by faith. I say my prayers. I'm going to take care of you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I want to tell you a man that I know. Some of you know him. I know Brother Leslie knows him, knew him. Clarence Wheaton. Clarence Wheaton had the call to go down to Mexico. Didn't speak Spanish right here. It was hard right here, but he was enthusiastic. He was zealous. He was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to do the right thing. I don't care what other stories that you're going to paint of Clarence Wheaton right here. I'm going to paint him as a zealous man. So he goes down into Mexico, and when you're down into foreign country right here, and you got your Bible and your Book of Mormon right here, what do you have? You got one of two things that you have. You either have hostility, or you have somebody who's Tell me that story again. So he walks in there, and he walked into hostility. He walks into hostility, and the priest of the town right here roused up the men of the town to attack Clarence Wheaton. And so here they come. And he's surrounded by ugly men. And they're all gnashing their teeth right here. They got their machetes right here. They said, we're going to chop you to pieces right here. We're going to whittle you down to size. We're going to kill you. You're not going to bring that stuff here in our community. And as they're drawing close, and their hot breath is on him, the crowd is moving. As the crowd is moving, Clarence is on the outside of the crowd. And they all start looking for him. And he takes his little sweet time right here and tippy-toes out of there and was gone. His life was saved because of a God that's real and a God that he prays to. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and you are not in God's kingdom if you are in the world. If the world is your life, making money, you like the actors, and you like the singers, and you like the athletes, you like that stuff, and that's who you know. In fact, I've done that before. I tell you, I've talked to young people, and I can ask them things that I don't really know, but I say, you know, who's the hottest singer on the market today, right? They tell you that's that fast. Well, who's the best actor and actress right here? Well, they got it down. They can tell you the life history. They can tell everything about it, tell everything they've ever made and done. They got it all right here because they're living in the world. But you talk to a Christian right here, if he's a Christian, if he lives by the Lord, if he lives by faith, if he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, you're going to hear, well, I don't know those folks, never heard them. But I do know what the Bible talks to me. And I know what the Book of Mormon is saying to me. And I know when I'm praying on my knees and I'm asking God to help me right here, I'll tell you what, I've got testimonies of a God that's real that has helped me. And that's the life of a believer versus the life of an unbeliever. We need to make that decision up. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve the devil and this life that's going to you know where in a handbasket real fast? Or are you going to serve the Lord right here who's going to bring to pass his kingdom? He's bringing it to pass, and he's working it in the hearts of his children, and he wants them to come up higher. All right. There is a hunter in the Book of Mormon. See if you guys know. There's a hunter, and this hunter is going to go out hunting. Who is he? Who said that? There you go, buddy. That's it. Did you know it? Justice? I thought you was going to say you knew. Okay, well, you do now. So anyway, so Enos right here, he's packing his weapons. And he's got who knows what he's got. He's got a crossbow, he's got a bow, he's got a spear, he's got a machete, he's got a lance. He's got whatever it takes right here to bring down the game. He's a hunter. So he's going out hunting. As he goes out hunting right here, he finds himself thinking about his daddy. And he's thinking about what his dad told him. And he's thinking about the joy of the saints. I remember that. I've got, and you too right here, but I've got in my head right here of experiences that go back a long time. And some of the experiences that I put sealed in there are experiences of love and joy and people living right and living in a godly way. And I've got faces in my head. I've got stories that I'm thinking about of godly women and men. And they were the kind of people that would say, if I'm heading in the wrong direction right here, said Randy, I wouldn't go there. But let me tell you a story about what I did. Of men and women who bear testimonies, and I was a recipient of a lot of those testimonies. That's the kind of people that he's looking at. So behold, I come to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man. He taught me in the language and also the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Harvey Seibel, raise your hand. You didn't tell me this, but your kids told me this. What they told me is, Dad had Bible study every night, did you? You confess it. We knew the scriptures right here because we were gathered together and we had Bible studies. We may pray a little bit and we're seeking the kingdom. I love that. I love that. In fact, as I've heard some of you right here, not mentioning any names, but I've heard some of you right here say, well, you know, in my Bible study, I caught that. It just kind of just offhand right here, well, David, you know, in my Bible study, you know, I was thinking about this and doing this and that and the other thing right here. You got a Bible study? You mean your kids are listening? The kids are not revolting? They're not backing out? They're not running away from you right here? You mean your kids like to hear the scriptures? They like to hear about life? They like to hear about how to escape and how to be delivered from this present evil that we're living in? You mean that's happening in your house? Well, yeah, that's just kind of regular. That's the kingdom. That's what God's looking for, this movement of people who are moving closer to the ground on their knees. And they're praying a lot. And they're asking God to be with me right here because I'm not big enough, I'm not smart enough, I can't figure it out right here. But I'm praying. And Lord, take my hand and lead me so that I won't be lost. And so he was doing that, and so he was having a wrestling match with God. He was wrestling with God. Now, who are the combatants in the wrestling match? It says right here, he says, I'll tell you the wrestle which I had before God before I received a remission of my sin. Who's the combatants? Well, one of the combatants is you. The other one right here is God, or Jesus. I love to talk about Jesus. And the other one is whom? It's the enemy. And the enemy can't win if you've got the Lord nudging you along and got put his big arms around your shoulder right here. You cannot lose, and you cannot make mistakes, and you cannot make those disastrous mistakes that you'll ever, forever, never get over with unless God, in the wrestling match, wins the bout. And that's the way it happened with Enos. So he went down to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I have often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints. Is that your experience in your home? Is that your experience wherever you go right here? He said, boy, we were getting together, and we were knee to knee, and we were talking about Jesus. Ooh, was that good. I love that. You know what? Atheists and worldly people right here, you know what they want to do and think about? They want to just get up and run out of here. I don't want to hear that stuff. I had a guy, an old man that I used to drive a truck. Bob, you probably know this. Elmer DeMoss. Remember that? I'm in the cab. He's doing the driving right here, and he's driving right here, and I'm talking Jesus. He said, buddy, shut up. He said, I don't want to hear that stuff. Well, he makes his decision right there. I've often thought about that. I've been retired for a long time. Elmer is dead. He's dead to this life, but he's still living and percolating somewhere and still for saying forever right here, I don't want your stuff, Jesus. I don't want you God stuff. Don't talk to me about that. He's going to say that forever. But if you make a decision and you say, I'm standing with the Lord, I'm not moving, I'm not backing off, I'm going forward, I've made up my mind. The devil is not my ruler, but I'm ruled by a higher power. Have you ever had that? I've had that said right here. It's obvious right here. You're ruled by a higher power. May it be obvious. May it be seen in your life right here. You're living by some other authority than this world. This world is killing us. But we, if you got sense enough and you've got the Spirit of God enough in you right here, he said, I got a better way. Start praying for the kingdom to come. So he prays. And he prays all day long. I mean, this boy, this man is convicted, and he is praying right here, and he is forgiven of his sins. And he asks, well, how does that happen? Because of Jesus, who you have not seen, he's the one who has forgiven you of your sins. He said, I know that he cannot lie, that God will not lie. I knew it. My sins were washed away, and I was washed clean right here. You may need that. I'm not saying you may need that. You do need that. We need that. All day long I did cry unto him, and yea, when the night come, I still raised my voice that it reached the heavens. He says, how does it happen? He says, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast never before heard or seen. And what happens when God rests on you? Anybody want to venture a prognostication? What happens when the Lord has moved into your heart? What happens when you are wanting to go to church and you're wanting to read and you want to be forgiven and you want to serve the Lord and your heart's changed right here and you don't think about those stinking thinkings in the past and you're not doing those raw wicked things that you've done? What is the natural thought as you turn towards God? There's something that happens after when you're with God and he's talking to you and he's leading you and he's holding your hand and he's taking you down where you want to go in a positive, straight, narrow path. He's talking to you. Something happens in your heart. And what might that be? Sean, what would you say? That's exactly it. You can't help yourself. We are downstairs. Trevor Ratt, are you here? I don't know if he's here. Trevor Ratt. Down in the visitor center, Was it a week ago, Becky? 2 weeks?
In May.
200 people come to visit. And is Trevor kind of just shy and kind of keeps it to himself? Trevor is on there, and in fact, as he told me yesterday, I think it was yesterday when I saw him last right here, he says, you know what? What I do right here is I run out there, there's a busload of 80 people right here, and they're all wandering around. I run out there, hey, you want to see the stones? We got the stones right here, then we got a story behind those stones. It's pretty neat. Somebody is sharing his faith. And I want to say that right now. The stones are not our faith, but the stones is a means by which God has chosen right here to bring some people down and to hear some things they've never heard before. And they've told me that. We have never heard that. That is brand new news to me. How long you been going to church? Well, all my life. And how long you been listening to the preacher? All my life right here. When did you start reading the Book of Mormon and the Bible right here? Well, I haven't done that yet. When they're told, come back and may the anchor of your life be the Bible and the Book of Mormon. May the anchor right here in the Bible and the Book of Mormon both say that. Right here it says, stand upon these two stones to the confounding of false doctrine. You need to become an emissary for Jesus. Everyone in this room here needs to make up his mind and be thinking in terms of, what can I do for the King? And how do you get that? And how do you do that? If I got off base just a little bit, you do that by, Lord, I'm here and I'm wanting to talk to you. What can I do to make you happier? And what can I do to help the kingdom? And he's going to tell you. And he's going to show you. And he's going to show you what you ought to be doing for the King. All right. There was a queen, pretty fantastic and a good-looking woman right here. Who is this queen? Who is it?
Esther,
that's right. So here's Esther right here, and she has a figure of a daddy right here, and who might that be?
Mordecai.
So Mordecai is an uncle right here, and her dad and mom has been killed. I can't remember what the circumstances are, but she doesn't have a mom and dad, but she's got her uncle, and she loves her uncle. And her uncle right here is on the money, and he knows exactly what he's talking about, and he knows all about God. And he's a righteous man. And so she listened to whatever Mordecai says. If Mordecai says don't go there, she don't go there. If Mordecai says you need to be reading the Word of God right here, she's reading the Word of God. If the kingdom is trying to get you to do some bad things right here as queen right here, you don't do the bad things. She listens to Mordecai. So Mordecai and her are in the kingdom right here, and there's a little trouble in the kingdom. I'm not going to try to get into this too much right here, but there's trouble in the kingdom, and so the king, Ahasuerus, however you say that guy's name, said, we're looking for a new queen. So the beauty contest began. It's in your Bible. So the beauty contest begins, and Esther, like I said right here, I mean, hands down right here, she is the woman. It's obvious. She is the one the king wants. So she enters into the kingdom as the queen. So she's in there, and she wins this beauty contest. And she finds out that there are two guys in the kingdom. I want to kind of skip this right here just a little bit. Let me pass by that just a little bit. It's nothing bad right here. What it is, right? These two guys plotted to kill the king, and before they could kill the king right here, it was known by Esther that they were going to try to kill the king right here, and she told the king, and the king had him guillotined, they were hung, and so that was part information right here that later came to be in part of the story. I don't know if I'm going to mix that into the story or not, but anyway, so. This guy comes in, Haman, comes into the kingdom, and he's an enemy against God, and he's an enemy against Mordecai. So this guy comes in, and he devises to the king. He says, King, live forever. He says, I want to tell you right here, there is a people here who disobey you and will not bow and will not serve you. Well, who are they? The Jews. And so I would like, O king, because they are a threat to your kingdom, I would like this to be done, that X amount of money would be used to kill all these Jews right here and destroy them, that there may be peace in the kingdom. The king had no other understanding except, well, that'd be fine. King not knowing that his own wife is a Jew. Meaning that Haman, when he goes through right here, he's killing everyone, including the king, including the queen. So what did Esther do that had to do with prayer? She declared a fast. She's getting serious about this, and she told all of her, all of the people of the kingdom, we shall all pray and fast together right here, and that we'll see what the Lord does. And so she has this banquet for Haman, the wicked guy, and the king. She has this banquet. And the king says, what, my darling, shall I give you? I will give you the half of the kingdom if should you want it. I will give you whatever you desire right here. What is it that you want? She said, I want to tell you that there is a people, I mean, there is a man that wants to kill the people of your kingdom. And it's a threat to me. And who is that would do such a terrible thing as that? She said, that man right there. The king jumps up in fury, and he storms out of the room. And as he storms out of the room right here, Haman gets up, and he knows his death knell has rung. And he gets up, and he falls on the bed. He falls on the bed of Queen Esther. The king turns around and comes back. Not only will you take the kingdom, you're going to take the queen. Take him out and do what? All because of what brought this to pass. What preserved the kingdom? What preserved the Jews? It was this fast that they had undertaken to do. We are called, I'm not making a big pitch about fasting right here, but we are called to be on our knees and praying for the kingdom and praying for the Lord's deliverance. And it's probably, that's just a picture of how things are and might come to pass to be. And I think as I read my scriptures, I think it's pretty certain. Wickedness and evil and disaster and pain and suffering, it's on its way. But for the followers who know how to pray, when they pray right here, there's a scripture right here, and I encourage you to check it out. I think it's in Revelation about the sixth chapter. It says there's a big archangel up over yonder. We say our prayers, and the prayers go up and are received into an urn. Received into the urn, when the urn is full, the big angel right here turns the urn upside down and dumps it upon the earth. That's what your prayers do. Your prayers are going up, and things are moving, and things are happening that are righteous and good and strong and blessed because maybe of your prayer. Of your prayers right here as you're praying. Let me say this. We've been told to come to Jesus right here and to resist evil and resist the devil and to be on our knees and praying for our lives that we may not yield to temptation and evil, right? We believe that. We believe that God is a deliverer and that we can pray right here and, Lord, deliver me from evil, for thine is the kingdom. Well, I want to tell you, young men, I don't know if I've ever said this before. I'm going to tell it to you right now. I had buddies. My buddies, we got together, and you know what we said to each other? We're not going to give up our virginity until we get married. We're not going to do that. It wasn't an oath blood, but we had this compact between us. We're not going to do that. We're not going to just willy-nilly give away one of the most precious things that you can be given is your virginity until you're married right here. And we're not giving it away. and we're serving the Lord right here, and we're praying that he's going to let us find our special person and serve the Lord together as husband and wife, as children of the Most High God. All I can say right here is get on your knees. And I know that many of you are, and I hope none of you are offended by that. But we need to be a praying people. And that's the theme that I've been talking about right here. Start praying like you've never prayed before in your life. God bless you.